All right. Hey, guys, we are here with the Gulf Coast Grow Show virtual edition. And I don't know why I started with a clap, but I'm excited today. Probably really enthused to have my good friend Zeke Smith joining us today. Best dressed, most well-known guy in the industrial construction industry. So we're really enthused about that today. Zeke is the director of human resources and people development over at Satterfield and Ponticus. But he has a very extensive background, both in not only in his field, but throughout the construction and industrial industry. Excited to have him join us today, tell us a little bit about his organization, some of the work that they're doing across the port region, as well as some of the pivots and shifts that have had to take place. Obviously, being in charge of people with COVID-19, there's a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of work behind the scenes that has to go on just to get the heavy lifting and work done in the field. And so excited to hear about, I know he's been working tirelessly leading up not only his organization, but helping the Association of Builders and Contractors and their teams. So we're going to touch up on that briefly as well as we wrap up some of the great work they're doing. Again, one of the probably most dynamic things about the Houston port region, really Houston itself, right, is that we know how to come together. We know how to work together. We know how to get the job done. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And again, excited to have Zeke on. So Zeke, I'll turn it over to you. You can tell us a little bit about your background and then tell us a little bit about Satterfield and Ponticus.
Sure. Thanks, Jason. Thanks for the overrated introduction. That's okay. I'll try to live up to that, buddy. I appreciate it. So glad to be with you, man, albeit virtually. Certainly would prefer to be sitting together having a cold beverage of our choice, but nonetheless, here we are. So glad to be with you. Yeah, so you did a great job of covering some of the background, but about 16, 17 years in the people business, a little over half of that in construction, commercial and industrial, and come from a petrochem construction family. My dad worked for Brenner Root here in Houston and Baytown specifically, where I grew up. Was an ABC member back in the day. And so I can't see it from here, but I have my dad's old superintendent hard hat. It's metal. It's not plastic. So it's wouldn't be accepted these days, but it's an old gold hard hat from Brenner Root. So it's up on my bookshelf in my office, which is kind of a cool deal. So but started my career in construction recruiting for on staffing agency side and sort of moved throughout cool little adventure into the oil and gas space, did some global talent development, training, organizational development work for some time, and eventually landed back into construction for, I believe, another member of the Economic Alliance and ABC, Gallant Builders, some good friends over there. And then last September, came over to Satterfield and Ponticus. So yeah, currently have the honor of leading up our people operations, human resources, training, development department here. So, so far so good. I mean, other than the global pandemic we're dealing with, it's been a really great challenge and a heck of a lot of fun. So
hope that sums up. I think that's a great summary. And I know the organization that you, again, Gallant, great organization we're with now on to S&P. And so tell us a little bit about their background. I think they have a really extensive background. A depth of experience and some hometown heroes, not heroes, but right, hometown regulars, right? They're a big firm here in our city. And so tell us about where they came from, what they're doing, and a little about their mission and values.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, S&P's been around 31 years. I believe June was we celebrated 31 years, and founded by George and Laura Ponticus and Tommy Satterfield. Tommy is only involved on the board now, but still run by George and Laura. They're still very involved in the business, which is awesome. So we still have that first generation entrepreneurial feel about the company. So, I think established brand in Houston, certainly. And we have some offices in an office in San Antonio for Central Texas, office in Dallas, Fort Worth. And then we have work across the country. Obviously the majority of our business is in Texas, but we have some, aviation work in New York and LA with a large client there. So, to your statement, a broad spectrum of a portfolio of business. Obviously, in the last 5 years plus, we've really capitalize on the boom in our K-12 school markets, bond programs here and there across Houston. So we're certainly known for that, but have done a lot of industrial work. I've done several projects for the Port of Houston, and like you said, very diverse experience. But yeah, you know, folks, what they know about S&P, maybe mixed. I think great culture, a lot of continuity at the top. It's one of the things that brought me here. A lot of the leadership here has been with George and Laura for, you know, 15, 20 years at a minimum, which I think was a real advantage to me as far as recruiting talent here and getting things done. A lot of smart builders and leaders here in the company. So it's certainly made my job easier. You know, working in this role, right, head of human resources, or, you know, being the principal. So, but yeah, so far so good, man. Been a great ride. Like I said, the pandemic's been a challenge that I think we'll look back and say, man, that was crazy, but a great experience. You know, I venture to say there's going to be no crisis in the future that we can't deal with, can't handle. But yeah, so far so good.
Great to hear. And now you'd mentioned work in the port region. So talk to us a little bit about some of the projects that you guys have done and or are in the midst of, so people get a better understanding of just what's taking place over there.
Yeah, currently we have a pretty large warehouse mixed use project there in Baytown off of I-10, Port 10. It's on the tail end of the project, but I think we've done roughly five projects for the Port of Houston, some civil. We built an admin building there, maintenance there, Bayport maintenance building at Bayport, some entry exit gates and some different paving and civil work there. So certainly have a footprint with the Port of Houston, done some work with Goose Creek ISD in Baytown with school districts and some of the different in Lee College and some of the different school districts around the port area, certainly. I've done a little bit of work in the Valero plant there. We did two pretty good sized projects, one of our hallmark projects at NASA. So again, variety of different things, right? We feel like, you know, we can build anything if we put our minds to it, if you will. But yeah, so certainly have a footprint in the port region for sure.
Sounds great. Sounds a lot like a little bit about something that might be a differentiator for me. I mean, with your ability to be so diverse, tell us, If you really had a kind of a signature or a flagship thing that you guys stood behind, what would that be?
Well, I think the reason that the diverse project portfolio has worked is, in a word, it's innovation, right? It's what we pride ourselves on. And oftentimes innovation gets tied into technology only, and certainly that's a piece of it. But one thing we really focus on here is that word innovation, and what that means to us is being able to solve complex problems, being creative through the use of technology. Certainly technology is important. George himself is, you know, has been said, hey, I'm an older man, but I certainly think I'm the oldest techie alive, you know, just in jest. But we, George and some others were involved in developing a technology called a symbol that several in the industry use in construction that was eventually reorged and sold to Autodesk. It's now part of our construction cloud. So many are familiar with that. In fact, I know there's folks we compete against in the bid process that they are, you know, selling that they use a symbol in those interviews, right? Against us. And we're like, yeah, well, we created a symbol, but we're glad that you use it. Right. So, so technology innovation to me are a real differentiator. I've joked with George and some of the other leaders here that I don't really think we're a construction company. We're an information company. And I think that's an advantage because that's what our customers and frankly, our employees, they want, right? So we leverage technology to get them more information, more consistent information, more accurate information, and more information earlier. And one could argue that's what technology is anyway, is getting you information faster, you know, and more accurately. So
talk to us, we're gonna pivot and shift a little bit. Thank you again for sharing some of the background of the company that you're working for. Again, excited to have them as new members of the Economic Alliance. I say new, but you know, in the last 30 to 60 days. Talk to us about the impact COVID-19 has not only had in the you know, you're in the people piece, so you probably have burdened a lot to get things up and running, make sure that we are able to keep the employees on the sites and keep those things going. So tell us a little bit about the complexity of the work that's going in to keep, you know, just if you had to take COVID. Okay, so COVID now, what has it done? How's it impacted? What's the things going on behind the scenes? And then we'll talk about what you believe is going to be the forecast in the industry. I know you have lots of connections and people, you know, that you're connecting with regularly. Love to get your insight. So let's start with the last 5 months and where we're at today. Give us a quick synopsis of what you've seen and what's shifted and what we're having to do to keep things running and operating.
Sure. Well, yeah, before I got on this call, I took off my stethoscope and doctor's lab coat because that's what I feel like I've become, the chief medical officer of S&P as well. But yeah, certainly, you know, to use the word that's most famous around, unprecedented situation we're in, right? Dynamic for sure. So yeah, obviously I've worked hand in hand with our safety director and company. So, it's, you know, HR and safety often work hand in hand, and that's no different in this situation, keeping our folks safe. And where my role has been elevated a little bit is in the information piece that I mentioned earlier, just really communication. What are the new policies? Okay, this happened, now what do I do? And having to make those decisions or get people together, leadership together quickly and say, hey, this is, you know, it's a moving target, it's dynamic, it's moving very, very rapidly. What do we do? What do you all want to do? Let's collaborate. So it's really just being a, you know, center hub of communication with employees, but also our executive team to make sure we make, you know, albeit quick decisions, but the right decision for the company and ultimately for the safety of our employees and our job sites. So it's been, I mean, it's been hectic. You said at the beginning, working tirelessly is the new norm for us. There's been a lot of articles out there about how HR folks have, you know, been right in the middle of all this stuff. So for me, it's been, you know, what new policies do we need? What new regulations? What, you know, what are the base level rules, regulations, and things going on within the governments and OSHA? And how do we exceed those to keep our folks safe? Do we, now we've got people working from home. How does that work? And certainly that makes some people uncomfortable in management, right? Do I know if they're working? Because it's new and construction's always been a hands-on, I need to touch you, talk to you in your face, sit in your office and talk about it. So just working through those kinks has been a primary responsibility for me, certainly, but more importantly, just communicating that, hey team, we're on it. We are working for you. We are gonna keep you informed on at every level of decision we make and why we make it. And if you have issues or concerns, you got to call us. We have multiple platforms to, you know, and channels for our employees to call and express concern or talk, even if it's just walking in here or getting on a Zoom call with me. So really just almost information leader here during this stuff, right? So policies, procedures, the really not so fun stuff, but communicating with our employees and our leadership. And then to your point, my peers in the industry and understanding best practices has been the job over the last 120 days or so.
So I want to thank you because you have boundless energy. And I know that both you serve in organizations, you lead as a father, you lead as a husband, you lead in your role in your job. And I think you, along with the other leaders and those that have had to step up, it's a constant barrage of new things. And so in my Vistage group, our chair has used the term COVID fatigue syndrome, and I really believe it to be the case, because I know every one of us wakes up every day and, what you know, 5 months ago we had already busy lives, and now we've had to factor on another there are bookends between every discussion, conversation, meeting, thing as to how we adapt, right? I saw a joke, you know, I used to leave the house with you know, a phone, a wallet, and, you know, maybe sometimes my keys, like, right? If I was lucky, you know, and now I've got to track down 14 other things to try to figure out, do I have a hand sanitizer, mat, you know, like, it's just one of the, you know, I don't know how many times I've had to, like, turn back around, like, dang it, you know, because, you know, I've got 14 hand sanitizers now because I keep forgetting, you know, just these little nuances. I can't imagine what it feels like on a job site, you know, like, having to now have 14 new boxes, and then for you to have to develop the boxes, and then for the leaders have to roll out the boxes. And so having to do that and then having to duplicate that thing in, at home, you know. So again, kudos to the leadership in all of these organizations that are picking up and carrying the way. Talk to us about our forecast. I mean, what's the general consensus? What's the underbelly of what people are feeling and seeing for the outlook for the economy in the construction space from what you're seeing?
Yeah. So, to backtrack really quickly, I would argue I don't really lead at home. I think you and I both know who leads at home for both. I appreciate the compliment, but if once my wife sees this, there'll be an argument about that. So I just want to put that
out there. Well played. You can tell you've been married for a while, so good job.
From an outlook standpoint, look, and I'll talk to us too a little bit. We've been blessed. The public market, the K-12 market, work underway has continued, right? Kids haven't been in school. Our school districts have the money. Most of them, if not all, are bond funded. So the money's there. They have to spend it. They need to go and get those improvements done. So far, the work's continued. There hasn't been a dramatic impact, although there's always impacts and delays and things being pushed. And I think that's relatively consistent in the commercial construction industry, obviously with the Alliance and ABC being heavily involved in our industrial market and having dear friends in that space, that, you know, the industrial construction market, whether it be process or buildings, have been delayed. From what I hear, not canceled, right? Because the plan's there, just pushed and sort of pushed indefinitely. So I feel like with some of the public work that was underway, they weren't impacted. So there's, you know, this thing started for us March, April, and then really came back to us, or maybe it was our first wave here in Houston in June. So our underway work hasn't been impacted. So I think, you know, September, October, November could be tricky for us in this industry, not just in the industrial construction space, but in commercial, public and private. So I think there's some work to do. We've got to get creative on how we go, you know, win work, pursue work, that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say we're out of the woods yet, certainly. But I do think the long-term forecast is positive. I think we'll rebound, as Houston always does. This region always comes back from these types of situations. And, you know, we're proud to be a part of that because Houston's home for us. We're all in, right? So if it's public work or private work, or the multifamily space is still growing in Houston. So, you know, I think there's definitely going to be more impact coming than we have felt today in the commercial construction space, if I had to sum it up in one sentence. But I think there's also a long-term outlook that the work will return, and I think Houston will rebound, I mean, tremendously.
Well, fortunately for us, and we talk about this all the time on the show, the diversification, and now even more than ever with the pivot and shift that's taken place in logistics, transportation. We're one of the few port regions that is not married to a thing. You know, a lot of them are married to a thing. So if that thing shifts or pivots or changes, they're in a big, bad place, right? Out of New York and LA. Here, we've been working diligently to diversify what comes in and out of the ship channel. And then both with LNG, oil and gas, and now even having become a container port, trying to bring in things from goods. And so I think as all that's shifting, you're correct. There's going to be a very positive impact from a speed to recovery, right, of the ability of diversification. Even as we move work home, then we just become a distributor. You know, we're one of those places that's built for manufacturing, and we're starting to see a pivot to that. And so, yeah, I think you're spot on. So let's just shift gears. We wrap up. I know this organization has done some great work, Economic Alliance, and bringing value adds to the members. I know a lot of times as operators, we start the storm comes, and then everybody starts putting the shutters on, you know, to try to weather the storm. Maybe it's just because we're used to hurricanes. I don't know. We want to board everything up, but really the reality is there's a lot more behind the scenes than throwing your name on a banner and showing up to a couple of barbecues and gun shoots, or sending your BD guy out to do a bunch of, you know, drumming up opportunities and saying you're a member. There's a value add to the work that's going on both from a collaborative perspective, a mentorship perspective, a place to seek counsel, wisdom, peer perspective. So there, a lot of that's taking place at the Economic Alliance and the Association of Builders of Contracts. So as we wrap up, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the great work that you, the committees you've been a part of over at ABC, are doing to bring value adds to the industrial and commercial contractor community.
Sure. No, I think it's well said. Being a member of the Alliance and ABC for some time now, you know, certainly brought personal value, but ABC specifically, so I mentioned, or maybe I didn't, I chair two committees at ABC. One is the Talent Practices Committee, which is more of an HR talent training professionals committee, and then our Member Services Committee, which is in charge of recruiting new members and welcoming them or onboarding them to the association, and also obviously helping with retention. So in that effort, we have started a series of peer calls, and initially they were just for ABC members. We then opened those up because we felt like there was some value to non-members, and not to mention, not a bad recruiting tool to allow everyone to listen into some of the information being shared. I have had the honor of facilitating the what was started as the HR professionals peer call, talking about all the things we mentioned earlier in this call, right, about COVID-19 and employment law implications and health and wellness implications, mental health, working from home, you know, the myriad of topics, right? So it's slowly condensed as we've gone through this into one call. And so it's sort of an ABC peer call now. And I still facilitate that that weekly deal on Thursday. It's also a Zoom meeting. We've had roughly 35 to 40 folks on it per week, which, so, you know, ideally 40 Great. Companies, which is good. And I've joked, I mean, we have some of the best construction law firms representatives. So employment attorneys, very powerful employment attorneys in town. We've got tax experts. We've got, you know, the benefit brokers on the very, very influential folks on this call. You're getting free advice, right? So for those of the members that don't have a, you know, a general counsel or a legal department, I mean, you get on this thing for an hour, hour and a half a week, and you're getting top-notch, up-to-date employment law advice, right? You can ask a question for free, right? You just get on the chat and ask, hey, I'm having this issue, you know, what would you do? And you get that advice. And I think that's super powerful. And there's a lot of, you know, interactive discussion about this is what I'm doing. We've been sharing documents because frankly, none of us came up with all these policies from scratch, right? We found it somewhere and we put our spin on it. So it sort of becomes our duty and my duty to share that, right? So I certainly didn't create all these things that we put out at S&P from scratch, right? Somebody gave me something and I redeveloped it or repurposed it for our current situation. And so I feel sort of obligated to share that, whether it's, you know, work from home policy, or it's a, here's our COVID-19 management plan for job sites. Here's a best practice health and safety. And we're sharing documents all the time, sharing best practices, sharing, you know, war stories, if you will. Hey, this happened to us. And it's one of those things where, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? It's like, what happens on this call, guys? This is a safe place. Share your situations and let's get them resolved. This is not a place to say, nan, 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 boo, boo, I can't believe you did that, right? So, again, I've had the honor to facilitate this call every week, and it was for a time twice a week, so it was certainly a time commitment, but and I've learned a heck of a lot being a part of it, period. So I'm forever indebted to the ABC for whomever it was and whoever thought I could handle the responsibility of facilitating. I appreciate that. And so it's very, very valuable and one of the highlights of my week, right? So a lot of good work there. And done a lot of outreach calls. You, Jason, have been involved and are on a committee with me. And so we've done some outreach to prospective members. And hey, if you're not a part of an association, this is one of the parts of why these associations are so valuable, right? I mean, Chad with the Alliance, very connected young man in this area. And so are some of the ABC staffers. And so when you need to get things done, have some influence with our political leaders and say, hey, you know, for example, construction was deemed essential during some of the lockdown in the state. And I think that was specifically due to some of the leaders within ABC working hard to talk to our county, state, and local leadership to say, hey, this is something we can't shut down our construction or infrastructure for this. We are some of the safest places to work in the world, frankly. And I know our petrochemical friends would say that. And so shutting us down and not having faith that we can take the extra curricular safety precautions here is a little bit silly, and we can handle this and handle it well and handle it with grace. So, and be a shining example of a city that handles crisis well. So again, I'm forever in debt to ABC for the opportunity to be a part of that call, not just be able to lead / facilitate it. So it's been a great experience.
Great. Fantastic. So I know you guys have done some significant work, both lobbying, petitioning, working behind the scenes, along with the Economic Alliance. I think the reminder for those, if you're tuning in and as you start to look at your budget, you start to look at next year's budget, you start to think in terms of where your value lies. There's a lot of places when you look at capital, but relational capital is probably one of the more significant dollars that you'll ever spend. And that's the ability to not only be a member of an organization, but an active member and an involved member. The ability to connect and know, on several incidents, I've seen and witnessed a member of the Alliance stuck or need something, and they finally get to a place, and then they push send to Chad Burke, and it's done. You know, the introduction, the need, the discussion, that in itself is a 10-time multiplier. And the same thing goes for Russell and his team at ABC. So I think it's just a constant reminder is you get in what you get, you get out what you put in. And yep. So it's that opportunity now to come in and involve yourself and then say, here's what I'm seeing. What else is everybody else seeing? And could somebody else help me with this? And just trust me, one thing that's for sure, when you ask, you get helped. That's what this is. It's always worked. And I think sometimes we get our blinders on as leaders, as operators, as people in charge, and we have a tendency to forget that there are help buttons, there are peer groups, there are things that are available to you. And again, we're all in this together. That's been my mantra, right? We're all in this together. The only way we're going to get to we are, for lack of a better term, Houston Strong. That never went away, and so yeah. So it's still there. It's here to stay, and it's never been more needed or necessary as we start to battle these unprecedented times. Unprecedented. I told somebody the other day. I said, I'll be glad when it gets back to precedented, because I didn't. And by the way, unprecedented is a word. Precedented is not. So I looked it up. I was like, is that even a real thing? Were we in precedented times before? Turns out there's no such thing, but there's definitely such thing as unprecedented times, and seemingly we're in them, because I get at least 10 emails a day reminding me of that. So yeah, exactly. So hey, with that being said, guys, Zeke, thank you so much for your time today. You guys can always connect to Zeke's active on LinkedIn. He's also, you can always find him at Satterfield and Ponticus. If you want to reach out to them, you can just find them on the internet. He's accessible and available to you. You can always contact me, and I can get you in contact with him as well. If you have questions regarding any of the organizations that we serve and the communities and the people that we're connected to, we're here to serve you. Again, we will be excited to get back into our studio. We are patient. My co-host, Clint Aiken, has been in a sense hiatus because of the shift and pivot of having to try to narrow it down to some quick, hit calls. But we're excited to eventually get back into our studio. We're excited to get back into the rhythm of serving and connecting to each other. And so I just want to lift everybody up and give you some positive encouragement that we will get there eventually. So as always, tune in, connect through LinkedIn. You can connect to our channel at the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region. You can subscribe to YouTube, Facebook, any of the channels, and stay in tune with us. So again, we'll see you guys next week. And thanks again for tuning into the Gulf Coast Growth Show virtual edition. So we'll talk to you guys. Bye.